Welcome to If You Even Care, and if you guys knew, if you even cared to know what it took for me to get this episode going, what it took for me to get here, I've already recorded this, and it was completely unusable because of the man upstairs, and they mean that very literally. There are things happening in the apartment above me that I cannot get into at this time, but just know I'm suffering. It's like literally one of those Reddit posts about like nightmare neighbors, and I feel like they can hear me. I feel like they can hear me all the time. So that's story for another day. Yeah, just having a day. And that is why today what we're going to do, even though these stories are probably ancient by this time, because this was supposed to be a week ago, and I'm sorry about that. I just figured better late than never. I'll just see when I'm able to get this done and then make sure it gets out. As long as it's this week, that's just the best I can hope for at this point. But yeah, these might be old news, but I want to do a little bit of gossiping. I want to gossip a little bit because I'm in a fucking mood. So that's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to bitch and moan, if you don't mind. Started my day, trying to do my makeup. And if you've ever used the one size setting spray, the like big pink can, those are known for the cap getting stuck. They're also known for gluing your makeup to your face. So using that setting spray, like you could go to sleep and you're beat, wake up, it's barely moved. It's that good. So that's like my go-to, but it's not cheap. So when the cap gets stuck and you feel like you're getting waterboarded with acetone, you got to just take it to the face because you can't waste product. So you have to try to, like, literally blue wire, red wire, like, try to fix the cap while also taking it all to, hopefully not your eyeballs, because that's what happened to me. And it does dry your eyes out, so then you get a little bit of redness. And then you got to hit her with some Lumify in the eyes and clear them back up. It's a whole thing. So started by waterboarding myself, spilled my coffee, cat threw up, just a perfect storm. And also worse things are happening in the world, and I'm sitting here complaining. So gotta check yourself. Woke up today, the sun was out and it was above 30 degrees. If I could complain about one more thing, and I'm going to, this is something that bothers me so badly. It happened to me somewhat recently. Really gets under my skin because it's the kind of thing where I can't fathom doing it to someone else. So why anyone would ever do it to me or anybody else? I could never possibly know or understand. When you are a childless person, people love to come up to you and ask you, when are you going to have a baby? Yeah, when is it your turn? Which is, of course, a non-invasive question that you could ask just about anybody. And everyone loves it. Who doesn't love to talk about themselves, especially in a really personal way where there is a myriad of answers that you could receive and all of them are too much information for someone that you don't really know. But you know what they don't ask you? Hey, in the summer of 2018, did you happen to have an imp spin a little bit of straw into some gold for you? And would you happen to not know that imp's name, so you might just owe them your firstborn? No. No, of course not. No. They just see an outrageous woman with a heart of gold, laughing a little bit too loud and hogging the touch tunes, eating some berry clouds out of her purse, and they feel inclined to come up to you and ask, when will you bear fruit? And when I tell you, these are almost always people that I barely know. I mean, like, had a couple of conversations with, if even that. I have plenty of friends that have kids. They knew it was going to be difficult going into it, but that's what they wanted. They chose that for themselves and they're happy with it. Even when it's really difficult, they're happy that they made that choice. Those same people never ask me when, not if, but when am I going to make the exact same choice that they made? Never. It's only ever someone who I've spoken to for 45 seconds. Count it. All they know is that I don't have them. And so they feel like they need to know when I'll have them. When will you have a baby? Then will you wear wigs? And it's happening right now. These people only talk in screams, and they have a tap dancing dog. That's not even half of it. I just think about the possible answers that you could get to a question like, when are you going to have kids? And all of it is just too much information. Unless we know each other really well. And if we did know each other really well, I would think that you would already know the answer to that question, or it would come up organically, not with you like cornering me at a wedding and like asking me this when we've made like small talk at the bar while we were waiting for drinks. Like, it's not something that you just ask anybody. And people, everybody get more woke right now. And I do understand that there are some people who don't read social cues as well. Maybe they wouldn't know that what they're asking is kind of inappropriate, but it's just about always going to be inappropriate. Don't see me having fun at an event and decide that you need to come up to me and kill with both hands my fucking vibe and make me think about something that I already think about way too much, which is the passing of time. Do you think I can't see the giant white rabbit in the corner with the big clock? I can see him. What, do you know him? Is that your friend? You guys came here together, or what's going on? Now, a couple things came across my desk this week, meaning there are videos that I saw on my iPhone, and I want to talk about them, even though, like I said, they're probably said and done, been dissected a million times, but maybe there are some of you who haven't heard of what's been happening. They're not important, but they are funny, and that's mostly why I want to talk about them. The first one being the influencer who asked her followers to borrow a top and then made not getting that top into a whole story time ordeal. The influencer I'm talking about is Tara's World, who is also the I'm finna be in the pit girl. If you're familiar with that one, that was a whole thing a couple years ago. She made a post before New Year's that she wanted her dream top, which is like a halter top covered in pearls with like a bow on it. And it's a top. I don't know about dreaming about that top, but it's also like not something, it's not for me. And that's what it is. Let me not yuck yums. It's just not for me. I'm seeing it as like, you could want that top, but like, dream top. Dream top's a little crazy. But she wanted this top. She posted it, asked if any of her millions of followers have the top and would let her borrow it. She didn't want to pay money for it. She wanted to borrow it because Tara views her followers as her friends. They're her friends, so why would she pay for the top? Like, we're cool. You follow me. I don't follow you. You know things about me that I allow you to know. I know nothing about you. Like, we're friends. That's a friendship. So she wants to borrow it. The people that are DMing her and saying, hey, I have that top. You know, I'll give it to you for this much money. That's not what friends do. That's not friendship. So that's pretty fucked up. So she's not going to give those people money. She wants to just pay for an Uber package for somebody to have it sent to her home. Did not know Uber package was a thing. Either not in my tax bracket or just not on my radar. I'm really not sure which one. I'd always kind of figured if you needed to get something from point A to point B, you could pay an Uber and like put it in the Uber and have them take it somewhere. Maybe if they were okay with that. I didn't know there was a service for it. Makes sense, I guess. But she wants to have somebody Uber package the top to her. So after all these fake ass friends want money from her for the top, somebody finally reaches out and says, hey, I have it and you can borrow it for free, like a friend does. So she's set, right? Tara has her dream top. It's going to be sent to her. Everything's good. So she doesn't go looking for another top. She's already going to get her dream top. Why would she bother just in case this person isn't a real person or anything like that? These are her friends. So she's not going to go and look for a backup top or pick something out of her closet just in case this doesn't work out. She's waiting for her friend to send the top. So it's very shocking when sometime later, she posts another video and says, "It's been 3 hours. She hasn't responded. I've been ghosted." Which might be the one kind of like almost real thing that she did out of all of this, is that she didn't get a response for 3 hours and she goes, "I've been ghosted." Well, I've been ghosted. 3 hours? 3 hours is crazy. What's next? 4? 5? Even though 3 hours is like the length of like a midday nap where you wake up and the room is spinning and you forget what day it is. But 3 hours, she hasn't received a response. So she goes, "This isn't happening. I'm not getting the top." Tara tells us that this whole time, it turned out this woman was just a secret hater. Yeah. A secret hater, and her mission to prevent Tara from going to the mall to get another top for New Year's Eve. On some real evil, some real EVIL, every villain is lemons type shit. She just doesn't want her to go to the mall. She doesn't want Tara to have a beautiful New Year's Eve. She pretended to have the top, ghosted her, all so that Tara would have nothing to wear and she'd have to go to New Year's Eve naked. Because what the fuck else is she supposed to do? You look at your millions of followers and you think, wow, what a beautiful thing to have millions of friends. Turns out these people might not even like you. Might not even really know you or care about you. Which is not friendship. And the whole friends thing, I could see that being a thing if you have a really small fan base. Like, kind of feeling that way. Like, girl, right here, I recognize every YouTube thumbnail to leave a comment, because there's 20 of us, if that, and we gotta stick together. But if there were millions of you, I think they would all just start to blur. When you have gone viral for things like, "I'm finna be in the pit," which she got shit for a long time, when she was called out for the way that she was treating her bird, which she's been a bird owner for a long time is what I gathered, and she was stroking the bird, like petting it. Stroking's probably the wrong use of words here. She was petting the bird in a way that was like stimulating it sexually, and people were letting her know that. So she went on one of those, like, I don't know if it was The Cut or Jubilee. They're kind of the same thing in my brain. It was one of those videos where you walk to the line that represents how much you agree or disagree with something. And it was like all people, like online people, influencers or people who have been viral for something. And she's telling the story about how she got canceled for fucking her bird, which is not what happened. So to like be told, "Hey, what you're doing is actually like really inappropriate. I think it's really bad for birds. Like, besides it being fucking disgusting, I think it's really bad for birds. Let me not say something that might not be true at all." I feel like I've read before that they become like really sick if they feel like they're like mated to you in that way. It's like really bad for them. I can't quite remember, which is not helpful for you. And I'm so sorry. Sometimes when you know nothing, you got to say nothing is kind of the moral of that story. But she's been in trouble for things before, like gone viral for the wrong reasons. To still have that approach of like, "Well, you guys are all my friends," is like really crazy. But it's just something people say, and I get that. So she doesn't get the top. She makes this whole video about it. This is like not a story time, but I do understand that when you are an influencer like a Tara's World, you're somebody who has an audience that size, you have to develop this kind of like post and go mentality. Like, people that have to post several times a day, every single day, you don't really get to sit down, I guess, and like overanalyze it, I would think. Like, you can't go over, like comb through every video. You kind of just have to say something and post, because you need to post constantly. There are people who like post one video every 3 months. It does crazy numbers. They don't need to do anything else because they're on YouTube or they make music they're an actor, whatever it is. But if your thing is being an influencer, you do have to consistently post. So you've got to turn anything into a story time. You got to do a fucking series on trying out new coffee straws. Like, you have to do something so that you have something to say all the time. So to her, this is like, this is a thing that happened in my day. Let me turn it into a video. Let me turn it into a thing. She comments on the video and says, hey, this is about me. And I'm a nurse working a crazy day. The ER was completely full. We hardly had any beds. And I just started watching The Pitt for the first time like 2 days ago. And that is like, that's my headcanon now. That's just what every hospital is like. I feel like if you work in healthcare, you clock in, you work constantly until you clock out. Like, that's just what I've always thought. It's like, it's a busy ass day. That's not the kind of job where you have many slow days. Guess it depends on where you live and what kind of hospital you work in. But especially if you work in the ER, I would think, yeah, you probably do not have even a minute to go check your phone. And you probably would get in a lot of trouble if you did. That's just what I would think. So she says, hey, I have an important job. I save people. Yeah. Yeah, I'm an angel on earth. I help people for a living. And I was still going to give you the top on top of that. You just didn't get a chance to get to my phone yet. And as if there was like, I could not think of a worse explanation after making a video like she did to be in Tara's shoes. I could not think of something worse that somebody could say. Hey, sorry, I was busy. I had to take a bullet for my mom real quick. But I am still going to get you that top, or I was going to until you made this video. Oh, sorry. There was a burning building full of orphans, you know, but I actually still intended on Uber packaging you that top. Yeah, that's what this is. Yeah, I have a real crazy job. In fact, we could just say real job if we, you know, not to say people aren't working when they're influencers, but you know, if you put it on a scale, I have a real job working crazy hours, crazy shift, saving people, and I could not be on my phone. I did not ghost you. That could not be worse for Tara. You would think seeing her explanation of like why she couldn't get to her phone to shoot her a message that she would just go, that's my bad. I jumped the gun. Take the video down or leave it up because it's doing good numbers, whatever. But that's not what she did. No. Tara doubles, triples, quadruples down on what she said. The girl ends up posting like on her own TikTok, which has like nothing on it because she's just not like any kind of person who really uses at least that TikTok. When it comes to social media, she's not really using that account for anything. She posts like a breakdown of how everything played out, her messaging Tara, offering her the top, when Tara messaged her back, when she was working, everything. Because even though the comments are on this woman's side, they're against Tara. I'm sure that out of that many people, there are a few people being like, hey, that is kind of fucked up that you did that. And she wants to defend herself. Now, I don't know what the temperature of the comments was like when the video was first posted. I don't know if people were like, damn, Tara. And we're all friends here. And to think that it was one of your friends who did this to you. I don't know if people were like, that's really fucked up. That's crazy. Oh my God. And what a bitch. And what a terrible person. Or if they were always kind of like, Kim, people are dying. I don't know. So I didn't see it happen in real time. But people are definitely telling Tara she's being entitled in the comments at this point. So I'm sure that however many people are telling this woman off and being nasty in her comments, it's probably a lot less. She's getting a lot of support, but I'm sure it is still happening. So she posts that breakdown. She also shares a screenshot of the conversation between her and Tara in the messages. And Tara says, hey, girl, like, I was really counting on you to get me that top. I didn't get anything at the mall because I thought you were going to give it to me. Sad face. And this woman responds with, like, basically the same thing that she said in the comments. Hey, work was crazy. I literally could not get to my phone. And then says what I would also say, which is, you posting that video is really crazy. Like, I don't understand why that had to happen. And Tara responds with something to the effect of, as a girl, girl to girl, this was really messed up. And I hope you never fuck over any of your friends like this. Girl to girl used here is so funny. As if any part of this comes from some kind of like internalized misogyny or anything like that. This woman is saying, hey, I'm actually not a secret hater. I'm actually a fan of yours, and that's why I follow you, and that's why I offered you the top, because I like you. Like, I like Tara. That's why I was going to do this for her. But Tara now needs to turn the story against her, and she needs to win. That's what this is about. This is now about winning. Even though she turned this into a thing and she posted the videos, she needs to win now. Tara has a couple of follow-ups. One, she says that this girl, if she knew that she was going to be working, shouldn't have offered the top in the first place. Or maybe you shouldn't have relied on someone else for an outfit that you could not put together on your own. If you have an outfit in mind and you can't go out and get the things that you need for that outfit, if you can't order them online, pick them up in a store, borrow them from a friend, that's not the outfit that you count on. You can dream big, ask your millions of followers to borrow the top, but I wouldn't count on that. I would have maybe two backups just in case. Just in case you try on your backup outfit, you hate it, and then you have a backup to the backup. Because that is usually what happens, especially if you can't get the outfit that you have in your brain in real life. If you can't make it happen, you need to have a couple of other things to try on. So it's actually her fault. Like, you're a bitch. Like, what do you mean you offered me the top but you're working? Like, you're a bitch. Like, I don't care if you were going to get off of work and send me the top. You're a bitch. So that was wrong of her. And then also, this woman ended up posting a video. I did not see it, so I don't know how sketchy it might have looked. But Tara says, even though a lot of people were commenting and like hyping her up, that there were quite a few comments saying it looked like it was AI, which could be confirmation biased, and it could have been literally two people. And she's just taking that and running with it. I don't know, because I didn't see it with my own eyes. I would think this whole thing is a lot of trouble to go through, especially making like an AI video to post. It could happen. You do have to be skeptical of like everything now, unfortunately. But why would she do that? Because it ended up getting taken down. So if she was trying to just ride all this attention she was getting, why take it down? Could be taken down because there were comments saying it was AI. I just don't know why anybody would do all of this. Like, let's say this girl was bullshitting. She never had the top at all. Tara's completely right. Why would you continue to post about this if the person says, hey, I'm a nurse, and you've no way of disproving that? Also, why did you not just pay for the top? Can somebody take your money and run with it? Yeah, they can. But I would think that they'd be less inclined to do that when you have millions of followers and you could make the exact same kind of video, except it would make a little more sense because that person actually did owe you something. This wasn't an exchange of goods. This was just a favor. You're asking to borrow something. They don't have to hold that up because they're not getting anything from you and they don't know you. They just like your content. They have the top. They go, let me be nice and offer it to them. But it's going to be on your time. You're doing them a favor. If you buy the top from somebody, I would think getting exposed for stealing money from somebody with a following of that size would be really scary. Like, that would be enough incentive for someone to actually follow through with sending the top. And also, if you wanted to go to the mall to find a top. If you there was no way for you to get this dream halter top, and you were going to have to go to the mall and buy something. Because she says, I didn't get to go to the mall because you said that you were going to give me the top. Then you were going to go to the mall and pay money. So you were going to go to the mall and buy something. So why would you not just buy the top that you want? Why would you post about this? Like, there has to be something inside of you, a second wolf even, that says, hey, maybe this is an off-camera problem. Maybe this is just not story time worthy. Getting ghosted after asking your millions of followers to borrow a top, not buy it from them, but borrow a top, is just not something the average person can relate to. So it just doesn't look very good. And it's also not that interesting. Don't care. Where's Rick? Don't care. Like, I don't fucking care. That second wolf is asleep. You need to wake her up. You need to wake her up and get some common sense. This was never going to look very good. It was never going to really go well for you. What is an Uber package? I can't stress enough that it's not really about her making a video about something that's a non-issue, because plenty of people do that and I find it to be funny. I don't mind complaining about something if it's funny or relatable or whatever. I do mind it when it's like, you could do the right thing and give somebody money for the thing that you want. You are not reaching out to a group chat or even like a local Facebook page. You are reaching out into the ether to millions of people who do not know you and who could probably actually use that money if you were willing to just pay for it. I don't know. And the second thing I want to gossip about is not much better. It's another, this did not need to be a video at all kind of situation. A woman gets dumped by her hairdresser and he sends her, in her own words, a really mean text.
And let me tell you, it was not in the nicest way. It was actually really mean.
So I'm just going to warn you now, if you are sensitive to strong language, if you just feel like you're not in the kind of place where you can hear this kind of thing, I understand if you end the video here. I get it.
I've been broken up with before, and I don't think anyone has ever said something this mean.
The text reads, "Hi." Okay. I've really enjoyed our time together, but I don't think I'd like to take you on as a client any longer. You kiss your mother with that mouth? Huh? You kiss your mother on the mouth? That's the mouth you used to kiss your mother? All right, let's like break this down. Hi. Hey. Like, hello. Coming in a little hot there. I've really enjoyed our time together. Okay. Like, what the fuck? But I don't think I'd like to take you on as a client any longer. What are you even talking about right now? Take you on as a client any longer? What are you saying to me? Mean is an understatement. In fact, it almost goes so far one way that it swings back the other way into being like kind of like polite, like short to the point and polite. That's how fucked up it is, that it pendulum swings into being actually not even that mean at all. So what do you do when you get a text like that? Just fucking dagger to the heart. If you were going to say text back, no. You're missing a very important step. Approach the council. Yep. You need to write to your group chat and ask them, how would they respond to this text? So that's her issue. The whole reason that this woman posts this video is because her friends were asleep and they couldn't respond to her and tell her how she should text this person back. That's the thing. It takes a village, but nobody wants to be a villager. Especially when being a villager entails responding to a group chat at like 11 p.m. so that somebody can know how to respond to their hairdresser of 6 years. Instead of just, you know, asking why, you know, if you're hurt, if you're disappointed because they didn't give you a reason and you genuinely feel like you're in the dark, which I don't believe she was. If I just had to tell you what my gut feeling is, I don't think she was, but she's saying she is. She's confused. He didn't say, hey, I'm moving. Hey, I'm cutting down my client list. She has no idea why this is happening. You would think, you know, maybe you ask, hey, why? And then, depending on what that response is, you could take it to a group chat. If you feel like the response, the explanation is kind of crazy or it's funny or whatever, maybe then you go to your friends. But she needs to ask her friends how to respond to this very simple, pretty straightforward text message. But they're all asleep. So what is she supposed to do? She posts about it. She makes a video about it. And she's smiling so hard the whole time that you wouldn't even know how much this is killing her inside. She's got a smile plastered on her face that almost makes it come across like she's being passive aggressive, but that's just, she's hiding the pain. She's hiding the hurt behind that smile. She's soldiering on. Now, some people in the comment section did point out that she does follow a certain Donald J. Trump, and we could maybe make assumptions about what the reason for her being dumped by the hairdresser was. I would think if someone gives you money, pays you money for a service, and they've done that for years, for you to get to the point where you're going to cut them off as a client, they would have had to have said or done something pretty egregious if you're not going to give them an answer as to why. Either they know why that's happening, or it's something that you don't want to get into over text, especially if it could hurt your business. So if it was because of drastically different beliefs, like political views, and or they're posting things that you just cannot agree with on like a moral level, that's a pretty solid reason to not want to have somebody in your chair for hours every like however often she needs to go. Pretty good reason to not want to see somebody as a client anymore. We don't know that that's the reason why. You could make that assumption, but we don't know. If the reason why were something along those lines, you wouldn't want somebody screenshotting that and then sharing that to a community of people who might bomb your reviews or send you horrible messages or anything like that. Something that you just don't want in writing. And maybe you'd explain it to them in person, but you just don't want that to affect your business. And you also are well within your rights to say that you don't want to see a client anymore. You're not contractually obligated to see them. I would also probably leave it to be really vague. If I feel like they know, maybe if they sat with it for a couple of minutes instead of running directly to a group chat to tell them how to feel about it and how to respond, if I felt like if they sat for a few minutes on their own, just a little bit of reflection time, that they would know why that's happening, I wouldn't give an explanation either. So those are the two things in my mind. Either it's something that they don't want to be posted online because it could really hurt them and affect them negatively. And it's probably something valid if they're willing to end like a 6-year relationship between them and their client. I would not put details in that text message. And there's something about her making that video in the first place and her passive aggressiveness throughout the video that makes me go, and I'm on his side, and I choose the hairdresser. I'm choosing the hairdresser in this fight. I just feel like they might have had a point. If there is something that I do not like in a person, that like if there is a blooming friendship, I will depot that shit immediately, it's passive aggressiveness. That is the biggest turnoff from a person for me. I'm not exaggerating when I say that that like actually freaks me out, because it's like, you know how you feel about whatever's upsetting you. You do know how you feel. It's not like you're trying to sort through your feelings, figure out if it's a big deal or not. You know how you feel, and it's a big enough deal to act this type of way about it. But you don't know how to communicate that in a way that doesn't make the other person feel weird and guilty. That freaks me out. You're freaking me out. Like, you don't know how to use your words and just tell me that you're upset about something. Or maybe you're not ready to talk about it and you just want to sit with it for a little bit. We don't even have to talk during that period of time. You can just sit with your feelings and then you come and talk to me when you're ready. But passive aggressiveness, full body chills. Like, why am I scared? Like, guys, wait, why am I scared? But that it's the passive aggressiveness that really cherry on top here. Like, you should not have made this video. And I don't even really know what you thought was going to come out of it. I don't know if she thought people were going to be like, oh my God, that's fucked. I'm sorry that happened to you. Like, what did you want to go down in the comment section? For people to laugh? Did you want them to cry? Did you want them to offer to do your hair? What did you want out of this? And there are people saying, like, this is rage bait between her and the Tara's World thing. I don't believe this was posted to be rage bait initially. But once something gets to the point where you see the temperature in the comments is people are not fucking with you. They're mad. They're telling you, I think that you were in the wrong here. And you decide to keep that video up because engagement, hey, engagement. Not only that, but you make more videos about the situation. Now at this point, you're rage baiting. Now this is rage bait content. Now this may as well be a woman making nachos on her countertop. That's how much you're pissing me off. It works. That's the thing. If you are willing to make rage bait content, it works. If you put a ton of mayonnaise on a hot dog, enough mayonnaise, it will go viral because people are going to go, ew, in the comments. That's a lot of mayo. You will get engagement. Is that what you want to do? And this isn't me saying that like something like what I do would be better than that. It all comes down to what you're willing to do and can you sleep at night? Me personally, I know that I wouldn't be able to. When a video does really well, like if the numbers on a TikTok or something start to scale past like 10K, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Even if they're all positive, and often they are, I feel like I need to, like, holding my knees, rocking back and forth. Like, it freaks me out really bad. So I know I wouldn't be able to handle that same thing, but like they're all negative and they're all telling me like, shut your bitch ass up. Get me offline. I'm throwing my phone away. In fact, I had a clip from the podcast, the episode where I was talking about like cake, like party cake. I was talking about like what I think is the best flavor of birthday cake. Yellow cake with chocolate frosting, which I will be having in a couple of days on my birthday. And I've been looking forward to it all year. But I'm joking, right? Like, there is no ultimate cake flavor. That's just what I think is good. And I feel like that's a pretty common one. So if you get that kind of cake, a lot of people are going to like it. You know, and people would disagree with that. And that's why it's a joke, because I'm saying something with my chest that you're not really supposed to, or you can't, because it's like so objective, the best cake flavor. I posted a clip of it thinking that people would understand that I'm being funny. I could see what was happening immediately. First, like 10 comments that trickled in, all arguing with me. And that's fine. Like, people can disagree with what you're saying. You can tell when they're not liking the video, but they're commenting on it. That's when you know this is like people, even though it's about cake, it's literally about cake flavors. You know that people are getting a little worked up or like annoyed with you. Maybe not angry, that's a little too far, but like they're getting irritated with you in a real way. I took that shit down so fast. That is not my kind of content. I am joking, I am being playful, and I am not trying to actually annoy anybody or make them feel like you're stupid for liking strawberry shortcake. Yeah, you're dumb for liking cheesecake. That's right. That's not what I'm fucking doing. I know that that would have done numbers. I can't do that. It's just not something that I can handle. Like a bunch of comments being like, wrong, stupid. I can't, like, over cake. I cannot do it. When I tell you the first, just a side tangent, and then we'll get back to finishing up this story. But The first TikTok I ever posted, ever, was a clip from a podcast I had at the time, and it did really big numbers. I remember posting it, not thinking anything of it, because zero following, zero followers. Posted it and went to sleep. I had a dream that it went viral, that it like hit like a million like views or something. And I remember waking up, the first thing I did was roll over and check my phone. And then it actually was climbing into like 300, 400K. So crazy. And it was very affirming at that time because I had never posted clips anywhere. The podcast was just like, just for fun, like just loved doing it. But like, I didn't know if I was good at it. And then that clip doing numbers, like, scared the fuck out of me, but it was also something that I think I needed to see. It was a true podcast in the sense that you could only listen to it and there was no video to go along with it. So to see that happen, I think I needed to see that, but it also scared me so badly. I remember going to a diner the next day. I had to appeal it because there was like some word, I think it was pussy, to be honest. I think it was pussy that got censored or whatever, or like flagged by TikTok. So I had to appeal that. But there was something in me where for a second I almost didn't, because it was scaring me so badly getting that much engagement. To go from never having posted a clip ever anywhere to that, like the first time you post something, it freaked me out. So it was good that was happening, because it's not like it was a random video or something. It was something that was said intentionally to be funny, and it was doing well. But it's scared me so bad, it made me sick to my stomach. So I did appeal it, because it wouldn't have been fair to the other person in the clip either. So appealed it, and then it ended up getting like over a million within like the next like couple days, and it scared me so bad. Like, I had trouble sleeping at night because it had me, my hands were shaking. So I was in a diner looking at my phone for the first time that day because I just wanted to check and see how it was doing. And I'm literally shaking, full body shakes. That's how I know I would not be able to handle the opposite. Because it's like seeing people like perceive you in real time is so scary. But to think of them doing that for the opposite reason, if you want to cheat the system and you just want to make content that does numbers, you can do that. And I don't think that I'm better than anyone who does that. I don't think there's like a hierarchy here. It's just, what do you want to do? What do you want to make? And one thing you might feel more passionate about than someone else might feel about something else. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be passionate about counter nachos or like, you know, going into a store and screaming really loud so all the old people turn around. It's going to do numbers. What do you want to make? What will you be able to make that like you can go to sleep at night and say, okay, I'm being perceived by people, but at least I feel good about what they're seeing. And I know that it's something that I care about. So that's my tea a little bit. That's why when I think about someone like Tara's World or this woman getting dumped by her hairdresser and making this whole video, when I think about what they're seeing on their phone, when they look at their comments, I can't understand the decision to keep it up anyway, when you kind of know that you're in the wrong. People are going to disagree with you. You could post the sky is blue and someone will say, I've seen it be pink. Okay. You know, the bean soup of it all. People are going to disagree with you because they find it funny or they're bored or they're a child. They're just going to do it just because. That's just a part of it. You have to learn how to compartmentalize. I'm not great at it personally. A lot of people are better at it. And those are probably the people making rage bait content or streaming regularly. They do a better job of like, and that goes in this box. And we don't really need to look through it right now. But when you're wrong about something, like making a video about someone and Tara's World, her whole thing was, hey, I didn't say who it was about. She came in the comments and went, that was me. But you're still like, you don't look good here. You do look entitled. I know it's doing numbers, but like after everything you've been through, people still troll you about Finnaby in the pit. People still comment about the bird situation. Like, Do you really want to add fuel to that fire? That's what makes me think now you're rage baiting people. I just can't understand, like, choosing to do that, to, like, leave it at that. I don't know. And everyone's living a different life. And we're all riding our own horses. So, back to Miss Lady with the hairdresser. She made a follow-up video where she's still talking about the situation. She came to her group chat. They finally came up with a response. They kept it short and polite. And she asked why. She wants to know why. She has no clue. She's doubling down on the fact that she cannot understand why this decision was made, which is fine. Whatever. Didn't need the first video. Certainly don't need a follow-up. But that's what's happening. She hasn't gotten a response yet. I checked again yesterday, and she hasn't made any videos about hearing back from the hairdresser. So she does make a video where she's in her backyard, which is very beautiful, I will admit. I think she does interior design, and I'm pretty sure that's what her page was dedicated to mostly before this whole thing happened. Why you would use the same account for this whole thing as if it was some crazy dilemma? You just couldn't keep it in? I'm not sure, and I'll never know the answer to that. But sitting in her beautiful backyard in a yoga set, holding a mug with both hands, and the text on the screen says, still no response, still choosing peace. That's beautiful, really. And like, do you think that she would be able to sit in her gorgeous backyard in a matching set, holding a mug with two hands, if she was in the wrong here? If maybe she shouldn't have posted a private conversation, a very AB conversation publicly on TikTok? No. That's not what people who are wrong do. People who are in the wrong don't hold mugs with both hands. If she was in the wrong here, she'd be in a dark room cackling. That would have been her follow-up. Is her in a dark room laughing by herself? Because that's what people who are wrong do. She's sitting there taking deep breaths, meditating. And that's just not, if she was so wrong, how would she be able to meditate? Does that look like somebody who's wrong to you? I don't really keep up with that whole like Mormon wives show, but that's the kind of scene that I imagine would be set when two women are about to sit down and hash out the fight that they had at dinner the night before. Just what a response. What a story. What a fucking crazy story. My hairdresser dumped me, and here's the fucked up maniacal text that he sent me. Yeah, he texted me that. What am I supposed to do? What do you want from all of this? What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to comment to you? What should I say? Are you looking for purely emojis? I'm not gonna lie, gossiping like this with you, having a little bit of a chips and guac sesh. And is it annoying when people say guac? I used to find it annoying. I don't know if I find it as annoying now, but it feels annoying when I say it. But we hit pan on the chips, and I'm cleaning the bowl of guac with my finger right in front of you. You hardly even got to scoop a chip, and that is on me, and that is my bad. And I will learn from this. Okay. But this did, it made me feel better. It's exactly what I needed. Also, watching the episode of Bridgerton that a lot of people got to see through the like ta-dum thing on Netflix. And I didn't because I forgot to put in my email. And when I went to put in my email, it was the day of and you couldn't. But I got to watch it through TikTok clips. And bless her. Bless everyone who is doing that. Because fuck you, Netflix. Just show it to all of us. Show it to the class. You're going to bring a first episode. Maybe, and if I could be so bold, having missed about probably 40% of the episode because she could only post, you know, she only really posted clips of the important stuff, I think. Maybe the best first episode of a season that we've ever had. And I am season two of The Death of Me. I am Canthony all the way. That it's still, that's my couple. But this one, pretty good. Pretty good. And I'm watching it off of someone else's laptop screen in small portions. And I still think it's up there. So I think it's going to be a fun one. I'm also, like I said before, watching The Pit. Finally, like not even really a thing right now anymore. But that's usually when I like to binge watch things. And it is hard for me to stomach. I'm very squeamish and I hate body horror or anything of that sort. So having a hard time, and yet I enjoy it so much that I just keep watching it. It's really fucking good. Not the kind of show that I thought I would watch, but then something about seeing that it was an hour, each episode was 1 hour out of the same day. I was like, I gotta know what that's about. I'm gonna have to see what happens. And it's really, really good. Tell Me Lies, I've been watching. I saw the first 3 episodes. And if I could just get Steven alone for a minute. I want to choke him like Bart Simpson. I know that's the point of the character. You're supposed to fucking hate him. He's outside of his mind. But he feels like someone that like a friend of mine has dated. Like I hate him the way that I hate like the most evil of my friend's ex-boyfriends. It's very visceral. Like when he's on screen, I have to clean the foam from the corners of my mouth. Like I'm going to bite your ankles. And I love, and this is a spoiler. So if you've never watched Tell Me Lies, just skip ahead 30 seconds if you are interested in watching it. Because, I think you do see this pretty quickly, but just in case, because I can't remember when it becomes a thing in the show. Skip ahead right here. Diana and Pippa, I love them together. Love them. Those are my girls, and I need them to have more screen time. That's so far my biggest issue with the season, is I want to see more of them. What I've seen, I love. Love Island All-Stars also just started. I had no idea about how bad the fires in South Africa were, but now that I'm like reading articles about it, I'm like, oh my God, people were being really horrible about them having to postpone the show. Like it wasn't able to air on time because of how bad the fires were. But I'm like, bigger fish to fry kind of thing. Do I want the show to start? Am I like excited to watch it? Yeah, but like, oh my God. So glad that it's started now. And strong start. It is by far the most awkward first episode I think I've ever watched. The pairings could not be worse. I can't wait to see where this shit goes. And then getting Scott in there as the first bombshell was a crazy idea. They have him come in and just start roasting two people. Pick two people to say something mean to. And he does. One much worse than the other. He just goes in on the candy kid from Love Island UK. Oh my God, what is his name? I can't remember. Sean, I think. Could not stand him on his season. But I don't know what he did to deserve all of that. I just loved it. I'm not going to lie to you. That was hilarious. So I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a good All-Star season. It is going to be a fucking mess. Just weird pairings. Like the couples are... Like, no one, I don't think anyone's happy. Not maybe Millie's makes the most sense, but even then, it's like, I don't think she didn't want that because the guy's so young. Yeah, this is a great time for people who are in the house a lot. So, that's it for now for this week. And I'll be seeing you very shortly since this is being posted on a Friday. We'll talk very soon. And that's all, and goodbye. You have to go now. You get the fuck out.